Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Wow, somebody ought to give God some praise over that one. Yes, come on. Beautiful singing by everybody to the Lord this morning. What a joy and blessing it is. If you'll turn with me this morning to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 22. This one should be easy to find. Chapter 22. It's what you and I should be looking forward to. It is where God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, the Lamb of God, fulfill their promises that they have made throughout the ages to their people. Not just to the nation of Israel, but to all the nations that will surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. To every tribe, to every people group, to every culture, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter what your past has been. If you have surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, this is the most glorious revelation knowledge that we're about to receive about our final destination. Yes, that's right. This is what it's all about. This is when God brings it all together. And what is so unique, one of the great promises that Jesus Christ, our Lord, made to his disciples on the night in which he was betrayed. He said, if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. And he told us something about him that very little of us actually pay attention to. And here's what he said, and you're going to see this in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. Here's that revelation knowledge for you and I today as we get ready to go to the Lord in prayer. He said, the Comforter, when he comes, he told the disciples, he said, he's already with you, and he will be in you, and he will abide with you forever.
Amen.
Okay? So that means the Spirit of God living in us, being with us forever and ever and ever. Amen. And now you're about to see us paired up with him in paradise. Together. Walking together alongside the river of life. This is amazing stuff. We actually get to see what the Spirit of the living God looks like and walk along with Him and talk with Him as you talk to your parents in the garden or you walk with a friend, okay? We actually get to see the Holy Spirit. And He, in His great wisdom, is going to walk with us to the throne of God and of the Lamb. This is amazing stuff. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much that by Your decree, Lord God, we come to You in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Lord, have Your way as You give us the final picture of what the end times are going to be like when You gather all of Your children together, beginning with Israel, Lord, and the nations, to everyone who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, whose name have been written in the Lamb's book of life. Lord Jesus, You have made this possible. As we take a look at the final chapter of the Bible, Lord, bring things alive in our mind's eye by the Holy Spirit and help us to look to that glorious city, the city of God, where You, Lord God, and You and Your Son Jesus sit enthroned above all things. Dear Lord God, as we sit and as we watch and wait, Lord, our hearts are eager and yearning to be with You. There's no place greater for us, Father, than in the presence of God. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for making this possible through Your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for sending Him to make all things new. Thank You now, Holy Spirit. Speak, for Your children are listening. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. As we look at this last chapter, I pray now that you allow the Holy Spirit to open your heart, whether you're 10 years old, 16 years old, 15, I don't want to miss Emma, 17 or 11 or the rest. Okay. God has something for you. Watch as Jesus Christ unfolds heaven for us. Watch as Jesus opens up the gates of paradise, invites us in. Watch. This is the place that the Lord said, I go and prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you shall be also. This is that place. The promise has been fulfilled in this chapter. And where God said, I will wipe every tear from their eyes, and I will take away all their pains and all their sorrow, for there won't even be a need for caring, because there will be no things that cause you to care. And it said, and you will die no more, for God will have cast death in the lake of fire. This is the place where God has eradicated sin. There are no traces of sin anywhere, for everything has been made new. Watch and see us as we sit and walk in the paradise of God. Imagine yourself in this location right now, because this is the hope of glory, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it is Jesus who is making all of this possible. And I couldn't imagine what John was. If I was John, I probably wouldn't have been able to write Mr. Jim because of the excitement. Once he got past all of the death, all of the hurt, all of the disaster and destruction, and got to this part, I imagine John probably couldn't contain himself. Woo! Are you hearing me? Because, folks, the last chapter says God won.
Right. Hallelujah.
Jesus won. His death was not in vain. Amen. It's something to be excited about. Look what we got. Oh, the future. What we got to look forward to. And just in case some of you working folks didn't get it, no more taxes. But that's not the important part. The important part is Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone. God made sure of that. But we're going to go back in time a little bit as this chapter thrusts us in and out of the times of history. Take a look. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. If you look at the language of this, this tells you and I that there is one throne in heaven. One at this time. One throne here. He's describing. He's not talking about the 24 elders, as you've seen in the earlier part of the book. Now he's talking about God's throne, God himself. And notice what the language says, the throne of God and of the Lamb. What does that mean? That means the two are what? One. In order to understand the pure river of life here, as being described by John, the best that he could, you have to go back to Jerusalem. You have to go back to John chapter 7. That's where we're going to go back to real quick. John chapter 7, during the Feast of Tabernacles. What is the Feast of Tabernacles? It's also known as the Feast of Booths. That's when Israel came out of Egypt. They had to make makeshift tents. Okay, in our language, we call them tents. In their language, they called them either booths or tabernacles. Okay, because that's what they stayed in for 40 years. All right, can you imagine living in a temporary shelter for 40 years? You think you got a heart where you live at? Think about that one. Okay. And so, every year, Israel was required by God to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, to remind them where God has brought them from. And on the last day of the feast, the high priest would stand up and he would take water and he would pour it out as a drink offering, reminding them of when they were in the wilderness and they didn't have water to drink. And God did something so amazing that he gave them water out of a what? Out of a rock. And Paul will later describe that it was Jesus Christ was that rock. We're going to take a look at a couple of things here from the scriptures. Because in order to understand this first verse, you need to go back to the basics. And the basis tells you and I to go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. And you should be able to come back to where you were because it's the last chapter in the Bible. And so, John chapter 7. Starting at verse 37, watch what the Lord Jesus does. Now, remember, the high priest does this. He stood up, he poured the water out, symbolizing that which God had done for their forefathers in the wilderness. Hundreds of years earlier. Okay? Israel was not to forget this. Jesus, watch what, in verse 37, watch what the Lord Jesus Christ does here. On the last day, that great day of the feast, what feast? The Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and what? Drink. We got to get it. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said. Notice, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the rest of the Bible as we know it, did not exist. So what was he pointing to? Genesis through Malachi. Okay? They were the scriptures. So he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Well, what does that mean? We're going to take a look. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Folks, can you imagine Jews of that day in Jerusalem standing hearing this man who was not one of their priests says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and I will give him drink. Can you imagine the anxiety and even the curiosity in the hearts of those around them? Did not understand the most powerful message on earth. Okay? He just brought a message directly from the heart of God to them. That without the Spirit of God, no man can see God. Without the Spirit of God, no one could be born what? Born again. You ladies and young folks, we went over that when? Thursday night, right? Unless the Holy Spirit comes in. And Paul wonderfully describes this in Romans chapter 8. He said, he who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. This is powerful stuff. That day, Jesus was reminding them that from that person's life, from that person's innermost being, from his belly, shall flow what? Rivers of living water. That's the Holy Spirit. That means you will now become alive and have a productive life, a fruitful life before God and man. You will no longer be the same. Amen? Your life will be different. And your friends will know, hey, something different about him or something different about her. Why? Because now you have the living water living in you. And the same stuff that used to be in that vessel is not in that vessel anymore. Because that vessel has been washed clean. And here's newsflash for you, just in case you didn't get it. The Holy Ghost is not going to live in the same house with a demon. Okay? Christians can be influenced by demons, and that's not the message today. And I don't want to chase that rabbit. That's another one altogether. But understand what Lord Jesus is saying here. Pure. The river of pure living water. That means it's untainted by sin. It has no contaminants in it. You all in High Springs got a big warning that your water is contaminated and may give you cancer over a period of time. Okay? But look, God water would never cause you harm.
Amen.
God's water will give you life and life eternal. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look, we'll read down into verse 4.
Are we done with John?
We're done with John. And those Jews standing there, boy, they must have freaked out. What is he talking about? But those who are in Christ Jesus on the day of Pentecost found out what he was talking about. In fact, folks, let me tell you something. The disciples, before Lord Jesus ascended, he breathed on them, okay? He breathed on them and told them to receive the what? He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. That night, when Jesus appeared, this is during his post-resurrection time, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared. He came right through the walls in bodily form, Zor. That means metaphysics can't stop him. Okay? He came right in among them, and Thomas freaked out. Remember Thomas' declaration? First he was running that mouth saying, unless I put my fingers, touch the wounds in his hand, and thrust my fingers into his side, I will not believe. Thomas didn't believe Jesus had risen from the dead. And all of a sudden, while they're there, who shows up? The Lord Jesus shows up in a huge way. And you know what? He says, peace, my peace I leave unto you. And he looks over at Thomas and says, come here. He had already known what Thomas was saying. How would you like to get called out like that? Call him over and say, come here, Thomas. Touch here. Touch. Touch the wounds in my hand. And then he said, thrust your fingers into my side and feel the wound. And Thomas went down on his knees right then and made the most powerful declaration of all the disciples up to that point. You know what that declaration was? Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Woo-hoo! Glory to God. My Lord and my God. He realized then who it was he was talking to. That Jesus Christ was not just a man. He was both Lord and God. Amen? And the Lord kind of scorned Thomas a little bit there. He said, Thomas, you believe because you touch. You seen. He said, blessed is he who believes and have not seen. Wow, that's you and I. We've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Zora, you seen Jesus? Me either, darling. But he sees you. Okay? So, Jesus has gone back to heaven. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the young church in Corinth. And he's gotten to this part of his letter, and it's a pretty long letter, 1 Corinthians. And he's here in chapter 10. Listen to what Paul says. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. King James, I like his part. I don't want you to be ignorant. Okay? Don't be uninformed. That all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock, listen now, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was following the entire nation of Israel when they was in the wilderness. Jesus was. Jesus. And people go, how is that possible? It's not impossible if he's not God. Well, it could be as the Son, yes, it is possible. Okay, I correct myself there. But he was there, Arve. He was there the entire time. He was the one that liberated Israel out of Egypt. He was the one that brought forth the powerful words that Moses spoke at the Red Sea when Pharaoh's army was charging, okay? And Moses turned and he spoke to the sea. He lifted up his staff. And that night, God sent a strong east wind. And we all know the rest of the story, don't we? That he parted the sea and the Israelite went through on dry ground. Jesus did that. And now we're here back in Revelation chapter 22. Back in Revelation chapter 22. And here we are. So he's showing John a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, telling you and I that life cannot exist outside of God and Jesus. Life cannot exist outside of God and Lord Jesus. They are the authors and the originators of life. They are. And we cannot be moved by it. We cannot. No matter what's being said. Matter of fact, I read last night that the Pope has declared that evolution and the Big Bang Theory is the truth. Just current Pope. And Benedict believed in intelligent design. Why don't they call God for what he is? Intelligent design. I don't see anywhere in the scripture where God says, I am the God of intelligence. He said, no, I'm in the intelligent design of your father, Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob. Did you see that written as such? No. That's just the ignorance of men. Okay. But I was surprised that this Pope said that. But nevertheless, it does not change what's here. God's children, no matter whether you're the Catholic Church, Baptist, Methodist, or whatever you come from, your background, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You're going to be in this number that's going to be standing in the midst of God and of the Lamb. Amen, Brother Jim? That's right. Amen. And doesn't matter if you drive a red Harley, with a butt rest, or back rest, whatever you call it, or a white beat up van, a big red truck with a nice little front license plate on it, or in a wheelchair, okay? If you belong to Jesus, guess what? You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're part of this number now. You're the one that's invited to drink from this pure river of life. It doesn't matter if you're on the drill team at a high school called Santa Fe Raiders, okay? It doesn't matter. You belong to Jesus. Guess what? You are part of the eternal family of God. And so he's telling you and I in verse 2, in the middle of its street, talking about this new Jerusalem, this new heaven, okay, on earth, and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Now, you recall the last time men laid eyes upon the tree of life, where was it? It was in the Garden of Eden, okay? It was one of the trees that was listed there in the Garden of Eden. And you know, God did not put a prohibition against man from eating from the tree of life. He allowed man to eat from the tree of life as often as he wanted to. He just told him, don't go to the middle of the garden and eat of the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. That was the only prohibition. So you could have had it, Clint. You could have jumped right in there and just tear it up. But now, man doesn't get, he lost that privilege when God drove Adam and Eve from the garden. And nobody knew what happened to the Garden of Eden. Some say it may have been destroyed in the flood. Nobody's seen it since then. When God placed those angels there, what happened to the garden? I say to you that God protected it. And maybe it even became transparent to humans. We don't know. But here, this here is synonymous to the Garden of Eden. And you know, the Greek word for garden is paradiso. Okay? That's where we get our word paradise from. And so, it's a wonder. And Pops, can you imagine you and I, we're going to have a conversation walking down the streets there. We're walking about a river of life, and we're going to be talking to the Holy Ghost. And we're going to be talking about that daughter of yours, too, and how good she is. Yeah. Amen? And they're going to talk about, because at that time, you're not going to have thoughts of evil in your heart. Because if you do, you won't be there. Okay? Every human mind will be transformed forever and will conform to the things of God and not of the former things. Because in chapter 21, it says, former things have all passed away. And behold, all things have become what? New. So you're not going to remember to spread some rumors about somebody. Okay? Like you do on Facebook and on Twitter and all them other places. And Snapchat. Sitting up there with a cigar sticking out your mouth. Now, all that stuff ain't going to be in heaven. Amen? That was a low blow. But anyway, let me go on. God bless you all. I got flaws too. So, look in here. So, the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. And people can give you all kind of commentaries on what these fruits are for. And what they're like, and could they be synonymous with the 12 tribes of Israel? And then could it be synonymous with the 12 gates and the 12 foundations? Folks, God does what God wants to do. Okay? He doesn't have to tell us the meaning. If the Holy Ghost don't want to reveal it to us, guess what? You're not going to know it. And Lord Jesus didn't tell John why the 12 fruits. Other than, let's read a little bit carefully. Look right here. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. If there's any abnormality that occurs in your body, eating the leaves from the tree of life will instantly heal you. Okay? Instantly. That means that your body, by the tree of life, get to live forever and ever without sickness. Okay? Oh, yeah. No more sciatic nerve. No more sinus. No more allergies. And none of the stuff that these women go through every month. All that stuff is done with. Bam! Tree of Life have taken care of all that stuff. Amen? There will be no heart, you know, pacers or pacemakers. No defibrillators. All right? No artificial valves. None of that stuff. Okay? No baldness. Men will not lose their hair again. All right? Women won't get bloated. Hello? Because the tree of life, the healings, for the healings of the nations. All right? You just plug in there what it is, what the ailment is, the tree of life have taken care of. Huh? Yeah, obesity, okay? Or even anorexia, the opposite of it. And so, this is amazing, but this healing is also spiritual. That means your minds will never be plagued again with wicked thoughts and evil thoughts. That means nothing about you will be sick again. Your heart will never be sick, because in Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 9, God tells you about the human heart. He says, who can know the heart? That King James writes it like this. He said, above all, it is what? Wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? And then the next verse, in verse 10, and it tells you and I, that God said, I know the heart. Only God can know the human heart. And he said, and I try the heart, and I reward every man according to his works. And then over in verse 14, Jeremiah writes, he said, Lord, clean me, and I'll be clean. Save me, and I'll be saved. For you are my boast. Otherwise, I'm going to brag about you, God. Okay? Anybody here like to brag about God? Huh? Anybody like to get up there and talk about him in Walmart? Even walking in the mall with their friends? Say, you know what Lord Jesus did yesterday? Oh, he's just so wonderful. No, y'all go there. See that? Oh, that looks so good. What's my shoe size? What's that? I bet I can fit that. That's what y'all do. Y'all don't go to the mall talking about Jesus. If you do, you're lying. At least most of you are. Amen? Just like you don't. Well, you did talk with some folks on Harley Davidson yesterday that talked about Jesus, didn't you? See, imagine that. Jesus on a hog. Glory to God. And let me encourage you, get involved in those groups outside of the Christian identity. Because why would you want to testify to yourself? What good does that do? Doesn't do any good. Get out from among yourselves. Get out there and make friends with people who don't know Jesus. Hang with them. Play basketball with them. Get out there and do whatever they do except the sin part. And get to know them. And allow the light of Jesus Christ to shine through you. Because you are the witnesses of Christ. Amen? And tell them about the pure river of life. Yes? Tell them about the tree of life. And tell them about the healing of the nation by the leaves of the tree. Tell them about the streaks of gold. Tell them about, you know, a city that has no pollution. Huh? There's no garbage. There's no air pollution. There's no ozone, no holes in the ozone layer. Get up there and tell them about, say, I'm going to a place where people never die. And they're going, what? What are you talking about, Willis? And you get to tell them the truth. You get to tell them about Jesus. You get to tell them about God. Begin to brag about the things of God in Christ. Let them know that you're excited about being a child of God. Most Christians, you get the only time they want to talk about Jesus when they walk through the doors of this place called church. I don't get that one. I can't shut up about it. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't like it, I'm going to talk more. Okay? I'm going to make sure you don't like it. Hopefully, my testimony will turn you. Okay. So, John is there, and the Lord Jesus is showing him all of this wonderful stuff. In verse 3, he said, and there shall be no more curse. What? If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, God did curse what? he cursed what?
People.
The ground. He did not curse the people. And he cursed what? The serpent. And he told the ground not to yield as much fruit as it used to. And he changed the very course of nature. That beautiful, beautiful rose that you women like to get, all of a sudden it took on thorns. Because unless the florist stripped the thorns from him, we go and give you a rose and it's sticky, you're going to say, oh, you got jokes now? Going to give me something pretty that's going to hurt me at the same time? Yeah. But guess what? God will lift the curse. There will be no more curse. And also over in Deuteronomy, God told Moses to tell the people, he said, curse is everyone that hangs on a tree. What is that? Crucifixion? Jesus Christ became a curse for us. He hung on the tree. Are you getting that? Jesus Christ became a curse for you and I. So God is going to lift the curse. There will be no curse there, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be what? In it, and his servants shall serve him. You want to know what it's like to serve RV? You want to bust tables? You and Emma, go bust tables for Jesus. In the kingdom of the eternal God, you get a chance to go and serve God and Lord Jesus face to face. Okay? And you never get tired. You won't leave them and say, oh, my back ache. Boy, Jesus, why'd you have to make those dishes so heavy? Okay? You won't have to worry about that. Amen, Clinton. And Deacon would never get tired of going in and cleaning the house of God. Okay? Because you know what the term deacon means, right? Servant. Servant. And you'll never get tired of serving the Lord. Because each time you go, can you imagine Shelly just walking in the throne room of God and Lord Jesus? And each time you go into the servant, what things just get that much more great? You go, I love coming in here. Yeah! You know? I'm telling you. And each time you go and you get that much more excited, and you can't wait till the next time you get to go in and serve it. That's the way it is. It'll never grow old for you. I heard someone say one time, why would I want to go to heaven when everything would be the same day in and day out? I said, well, that's not the God that we're serving, because nothing is mundane with him. Because each time he allows you into his holy presence, it gets that much more better. And your mind just get hunger and hunger and hunger for his presence and of the Lamb. And you go, Matthew, I can't wait to go back. When is our next time? And you just go, I mean, it's just going to be so wonderful, so marvelous. And so, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Yeah. Did you get that? They shall see his face. You ever want to know what God looks like? And Lord Jesus, not this generation, we have not seen the Lord Jesus right. Right? No human has seen him since 2,000 years. But can you imagine, Mr. Jim, you and I get to walk into the throne room of God and see his face, see him face to face and not die. Because you remember in Exodus chapter 33, God told Moses, no man shall see my face and live. That's the last verse in chapter 33. Am I right? Those of you all that know the word of God? So can you imagine, Zor, you and your greatness for the Lord? Wonder, what does Jesus look like? And I guarantee he's not blonde hair, blue eyes. Amen?
Amen.
Or like some of the all African brothers like to do, dress him up in his African mungos and all that stuff. People are just crazy. And I know culturally they're trying to identify with him, right? But that's not who he is. Because John, you know, John them thought, they knew how he looked, didn't they? What happened on top of the Mount Transfiguration? In Matthew chapter 17, they freaked out, didn't they? And then to make it even worse, when Jesus called John to heaven, and you read it in Revelation chapter 1, and John looked and seen Jesus in his magnificent glory, and John said, I fell at his feet as one what? Dead. The glory of Christ knocked him out. Bam! There he was.
Bam!
So, glory to God. Can you imagine that? You get to see Lord Jesus and not faint. Okay? Remember, what did the prophet Daniel do when he saw the Lord Jesus by the Tigris River? Do y'all recall in Daniel chapter 10 what happened? He fainted. He fainted. Daniel said, there was no vigor left in me. I had no strength until Lord Jesus sent an angel to touch him and strengthen him. And then he was barely able to get up on his hands and knees. Okay? Folks, these folks out here, they got another thought coming if they think Jesus is weak. All this mess is going on right now about the Lord and about denying his magnificent presence and his preeminence. They have no idea who they're messing with. Just to look at him wipes folks out. And I don't want to seem like I'm picking on the Catholic Church, but I read yesterday that this past week, you know, one of the things they said that the Pope said that God doesn't have a magic wand. God can't do everything.
What?
We're talking about creation. And then how God allowed the Big Bang Theory and evolution to take place. That means then that Genesis 2:7 is not real. According to that theory, they're saying, because remember when it says, and God took man from the dust of the earth, and he created it, and he blew, what? The breath of life into him, and man became a living soul. Okay? So that means that's been discounted. That means that part, they need to just cut that right on out of the book, because that didn't exist. Because God allowed man, God couldn't have known everything. God couldn't have done all of that. Although he didn't make you and I whole, he didn't make us complete. That's not a true statement. The word of God does not lie. It doesn't matter the opinion of men. Okay? And looking here at Jesus, looking at the glorious Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the scriptures here, you get the chance to see him, Clinton. And I don't know if Jesus rides a holler in heaven. I'm sure he doesn't. Okay. Yeah, we're going to get to that part. Yeah. And so, I don't know the time, everybody, but I'm marching along. There's the Holy Spirit helping me here. Understand this. This is what we've been waiting for. We have been waiting to get into the presence of God and not die. We've been waiting to get in the presence of God to look upon God. Remember what Moses said? It said in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush, and it said Moses trembled. Why? Because he was afraid to look upon God. He bowed his head and he covered his eyes because he was afraid to look up at God. Wow. None of us has never been in that predicament. Never. He freaked Peter out on the boat when he told him to cast the net on the other side. And they had so many fish that they caught. You know what Peter said? Depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. If catching fish made him do that, what you think when you look at his in his natural glory? Jesus' natural habitat. Huh? Is catching fish make you freak out like Peter did? What do you think it's going to be like when you see Lord Jesus face to face?
I hope he invites me fishing.
All right. Because he is a fisherman. He's from Key West. He's a fisherman. But to God be the glory, understand who it is we're talking about and what's going to happen to us. Understand what God, by Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, is inviting us to. Understand where we are going. And this place has already been prepared. Because Lord Jesus said, I go away and I prepare a place for you. Understand this. So we get to see our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We get to see you face to face. Every generation of humans that love him get the chance to see him just as he are. So they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. That means you have been marked. You are now, and I are now, the property of God. When you buy a television or a motorcycle or a car, they have their own identity, right? Called serial numbers. And an automobile is called a vehicle identification number. For those who are in the body of Christ, it's called the name of God, written upon our foreheads. Okay? That's God's serial number on us. This, huh?
Not
your social security number. Okay? And God is so good. He's so good. And so, he said, there shall be no night there. I think somebody in the room is afraid of the night. In God's eternal abode, you won't have to worry about that. There will be no night there. Poor pastor just throwing us some cheap shots today, isn't he? There will be no night there. How many are afraid of the dark? You won't have to anymore when you see Jesus. And it's going to tell you why. There was one time I used to be afraid of the dark until I went in the army. And boy, they changed that quickly. Because we did just about everything in the dark. Remember, Pops? Maneuvers in the dark. Okay? How many times they blinked out the ship, the lights on the ship, Mr. Jim, when you was in the Navy? Yeah. But when you're out on maneuvers in the Army, you got no red lights. Pitch black, going through a swamp. Okay? Climbing up on the side of a mountain. I can remember one time I was in the Non-Commissioned Officer Academy. It was up on a mountain. And it was so dark and so cold. It's probably like 18 degrees. And the fog. It was so foggy and so pitch black. We had the lensetic compass that had the outer rim illuminated, you know, at night. And we had to throw them over our back so that the guy behind us could see the guy in front of him. And hopefully the guy in front was on the right trail, because below us was over 1,000-foot drop. And we're going through these mountains, through these thickets at night on the side of the mountains on maneuvers. And you're going, you're hoping that guy, and you're trusting the guy in front. He's called your point man. Okay? Jesus is our point man. Okay? Heaven has no darkness. And you can read in James chapter 1, where it tells you and I that God does not cast a shadow. There's no variation or turning and no shadow. Pure light does not bring forth a shadow. That's God. That's what freaked Peter them out on the mountain, because Jesus wouldn't cast a shadow. All they saw was pure light. Can you imagine seeing something like that? Because you, every now and then you get mad, you try to catch your shadow. He's just that crazy. He's like a dog chasing his tail. So, but anyway, there's no night. And they need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And it shall reign forever and ever. The word reign means what? To rule. That means you get to make some decisions in the kingdom of God. That means God is going to put you to work. And you're going to be working for the Lord forever and ever. And you're going to be part of decision making, because he's going to empower you to do so. Okay? Now, some folks down here may not hire you as a manager or a shift leader. But God says you're going to reign with him. That means you get to rule with the master. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. That's coming out of the mouth of a babe. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. Did you notice that phrase? That phrase came from where? Faithful and true. What is written on the thigh of Lord Jesus back in chapter 19? That's one of his names, right? Faithful and true. Oh, y'all learning. Look at what the Lord is doing with y'all. Y'all learning. God be the glory. And And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Did you hear that? The Lord God of the holy prophets. That means all the way back from Noah. And matter of fact, it even goes back to Enoch. Did you know that? Because in the book of Jude, it tells you and I that Enoch preached to the men of his day to tell them to get right with God because there was a day of judgment coming. But they didn't trust what Enoch was telling them. And unfortunately, of that day, Enoch was probably one of the few righteous men on earth at that time. But Enoch tried his best to get people to live right before God. And there was no written law at the time. There was no written scriptures. But yet, this great man of God knew that God was going to have a day of accountability. And guess what Enoch is? He was the first human to leave this earth to go right into the presence of God without dying. So he's been there a long time knowing what the Father's like. He's known longer than any of us. Amen? Isn't it amazing, RV, how you can study the scriptures and get all this stuff? I tell you, go back to Genesis chapter 4 and chapter 5. It's an amazing, those two chapters, what God does here. And how God sent his word. Noah, another one of the first prophets in which God gave a word to. He told Noah, he said, Noah, it's going to rain. He said, what, God? It's going to rain, Noah. I need you to build an ark. What's that? And God said, I'm going to tell you and I'm going to give you the design for it. And you don't think for the next 100 years, Noah did not tell the people what was coming? He was a prophet of God. He told them. Okay? And the next great prophet that come on the scene was after chapter 11, talking about the Tower of Babel. Over in chapter 12 was a man named who? Abraham. Woo! The friend of God. This is good stuff, folks. And then his son Isaac. And certainly his son Jacob. They told their people what God had promised. Joseph also, seeing into the future, told Israel, do not leave my bones in Egypt. And in the great Exodus, what did they do? They took Joseph's bones out. Woo! Oh, glory to God. Did y'all feel this? Oh, awesome stuff. Awesome. And so, on down, Samuel, the first line of the hard prophets. Young Samuel, around 8 years old. God standing over him and he calls him Samuel. A boy, a prophet as a boy. Speak to the priest Eli concerning the house of Eli and how God was going to bring Eli's house down. And he did. Because his sons were evil. And the prophet Eli did nothing to stop him. He should have had him executed. Really. But yet, he did nothing. But this, what he's saying, God is the God of those prophets, telling you that everything God has said is true. Okay? Look closely at the scriptures. Israel marching right along. And he sent his angel to show his servant the things which must shortly take place. That means there's some more stuff coming. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Did you get that in verse 7? Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Why are people afraid to read the book of Revelation? God never told you and I to be afraid of it. He told you in the opening chapter of the book. He said, blessed who reads and keep the word of this prophecy. That means we got something excited to be excited about. It's a blessing in the book. It only becomes a curse if you take away from it or add to it. If you believe everything in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no problems. Mm-hmm. So why do you want to believe from, let's say, typically of the church, Matthew through Jude, and forget Revelation? Or you want to read, let's clean it up a little bit. Let's say from Genesis to Jude. You say, oh, I got all of that, but stay away from Revelation. I hear saints say over and over again, stay away from Revelation, stay away from Revelation. I'm going, why? Do you have the same Spirit of Christ in you that I have in me? Because the Spirit of Christ tells me to jump in there with both feet and hands and just glean and relish in it and just consume yourself in this book. Because it's the book of the future of the church. The book of the future of the people of God. And as Billy Graham said, he said, I saw the last chapter of the book. And God wins. Amen? That is the blessed hope. We are now in the last chapter of the book. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not lose. We win. Because we belong to Jesus. Okay? Finishing it on up, marching right along. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. Again, he tells you his identity. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets, of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. I'm going to tell you that veneration doesn't belong to a man, but it belongs to who? To God, even refuting those who worship Mary. It tells, don't do that. Okay? And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. In other words, right now, John, they need to know this right now. Right. And you know what? And the right now has been going on for nearly 2,000 years since God had John write this blessed book, since the Lord Jesus Christ gave him the heaven's pen and told him to write it down. God said, John, now is the time for my people to know this. Every generation of the church needs to know this. Even the house of Israel need to know this. Every person, whether you are 9 years old or 10 years old, or no matter what your age is, you are to know this. Amen? Whether you're tired or alert like me, you need to know this. You need to know it. And in my case, as a small boy, my mother was the first one. The first gospel, the first word of God that I heard was from the book of Revelation. And it has been with me since then. And it said to me, it said, don't seal it up. For the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. Other words, if you want to be a sinner and you refuse to change, stay that way. God got something for you. Okay? He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. You ain't got to change on God's account. You want to stay where you are? Stay where you are. You belong to God? Stay that way. You belong to Jesus? Stay that way. If y'all don't think the Lord is going to do something, stay the way you are. And watch and see what happens. And you'll see the righteous and the holy be separated away from you like the flashing of a lightning. And see what happens to you. Wow. And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Folks, rewards come in two different forms. Punishment and justification. What I mean by that? The lake of fire and heaven. There's no in between. So it says, rewarded with me to give to everyone according to his work. All right? If you don't believe that your life, what you do every day, what you think, what you see, what you say, is not going to have an impact on you, hold on. Stay as you are, as he had said earlier. Stay that way. See what it, where it gets you. If you're in Christ Jesus, stay that way. See where it's going to get you. Amen? Stay that way. If your Harley Davidson become your idol, your God, stay that way. See where it's going to get you. And if your intellectual ability wants to be your God, stay that way. See where it's going to get you. Okay? See what will happen in the end times. Because this is what he's giving us a picture of. We don't have to beg folks to change, do we? Just give them the gospel. And if they don't allow the gospel to penetrate their hearts, okay, stay that way. But if you want to change, change and become holy. Stay that way. Watch and see what happens on all accounts. Okay? Allow the Spirit of God to transform you. Yes? Transform you? Transform you? Or stay the way you are. See what happens. Okay? And you, Mr. Atheist, you say you don't believe there's God? Stay that way. Okay? He refused to change. Okay. Stay that way. The Word of God says stay that way. You want to keep boozing up and carousing and having fun and you refuse to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Stay that way. Stay that way. But we're like Joshua, for me and my house we shall serve the Lord. Stay that way. See what happens. Because the Lord said, my reward is with me. Woo! What's going to be your reward? Like that credit card commercial? What's in your wallet? I don't know where that come from. Anyway, closing on out, look at this. Look at it very carefully. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. People, Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. And Omega is the last letter. And it comes from, they use that term. I was doing some research, Clinton, and you and I have a little bit of understanding of the Hebrew alphabet, the Aleph, Alpha. And what's the last one? It's the letter T. The T. It's the last alphabet in the Hebrew. The Alpha and the Omega. Jesus Christ is the everlasting Father, the everlasting God. All things begin and end with God. Okay? That means it is God who controls human history. Not only does he control it, it is God who gives, who makes human history. Okay? I like the way somebody break it down and say, his story. Yeah, his story. Not ours. She goes on and tell you and I, blessed are those who do his commandments. If you don't want to be blessed, the opposite of blessing is what? Cursing. If you refuse to do God's commandment, if you refuse to do the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, the opposite of that is a curse. And notice here, it didn't say that God was concerned about your personal opinion. Okay? Too many Christians put their personal opinion in things. When folks ask me, let's see what the Word of God says. Because my opinion don't mean a hill of beans. Okay? So blessed are those who do his commandments and that they may have the right to the tree of life. Did you get that? And may enter through the gates into the city. If you do not do his commandments, you will not enter this city. Well, God is love. God loves everybody. That's true. Because it said in John 3:16, the Lord Jesus Christ said that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? But guess what? If you don't love Jesus, you will not enter these gates. Like some billboard they had out there, God's not angry with you. Are you kidding me? If you don't love Jesus, guess where you won't be? You won't be going through these gates. And that's the gospel truth from the book of Revelation. She's telling us. Listen to the rest of it. Verse 15, but outside are dogs. By the way, you know the Gentiles used to be called dogs, right? Dogs were detestable things in Israel. They were not like. Okay? So he says, outside are dogs, or detestable thing. Sorcerers. Folks, sorcerers. Sorcerers. Then up under that umbrella sorcerer, let me kind of give you something that falls under that you Christian folks like to think is harmless. Horoscope, Ouija board, psychic hotline, what's that movie now that those movies everybody like? Harry Potter, name some more stuff that falls under sorcery. Look very, very carefully at what you do. Or it's entertainment. Mm-hmm. You're still involved in it. In the book of James, it says, keep ourselves, we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Okay. Next one, big one, sexual and moral. How many Christians you know are shacking up right now? And having this one word, fancy word called fornication, having sex without marriage. How many Christian boys and girls who are girlfriend, boyfriend, are sleeping together and touching each other inappropriately? Yes. I'm going to call it like it is. I don't care if you're a teenager or if you're 50 years old or older. If you're doing this, you're wrong. You need to come under the blood of Jesus. And not only touching with the physical hand, but with the mind, with the eyes. Watching things that we're not supposed to. Okay? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to clean us up. Murderers and idolaters. And whoever loves and practices a lie. Now it's time for small boys who are in the habit of lying to stop it. Did you see that? Look at Mr. Emmer's Bible and look, all of you. That's verse 15. Okay, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. Notice he didn't say out in the streets. He said where? In the churches. This is for church folks. This is not the woman standing on the corner wearing her short shorts and waving guys down. This is not for the folks who's in the arena killing each other. All right? This is for people who said they have named the name of Christ. Is it not? He's telling you and I, if we're doing these things, and some of us are, stop it. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of repentance. Now is the time to allow God to clean your life up. Now is that time. Now. Stop the lying. Stop the stealing. Stop the cheating. Stop the sneaking. Stop the deception and manipulation. And walk in truth. Walk in truth. And what you're watching on your phones, you know what you're doing. And if you're being sneaky behind your parents' back, stop it. If you're being sneaky behind your husband's back, stop it. If you're being sneaky behind your wife's back, stop it. Because there's one person you cannot hide from. That's God himself. Everything is recorded, including preachers. Everything we do is recorded. Paul says preachers or teachers of God's word will come under a worse judgment. Because we teach people not to do things that are wrong, and we ourselves are doing those same things. Gonna be all right. And so, listen to what he tells you in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. Folks, that is from Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Okay? You can cross-reference that in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. That he is the shoot from the stem of Jesse. In other words, he's a descendant of King David. That's Jesus. He's royalty, what he's saying. He's king. Okay? Wonderful, wonderful stuff. The bright and morning star. And the spirit and the bride says, did you hear that? And the spirit and the bride. Who's the bride? Say it again. Everybody here say, we are.
We are.
The spirit and the bride. Who's together right now? The Holy Ghost and the church are now talking together and walking together in unison. Come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts come, and whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. In other words, come and take God in Jesus. Drink of God in Jesus. Come, it's free. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, that's the warning from God. God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God should take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Don't tamper with God's word. Give it as it is. God can give a hoot about your opinion. I believe, no. What does the word of God say? What did he say right here to his church? That's the message. You want a message from the church, for the church? Open up Revelation. And it's directly to the heart of the church. Okay? One who's slow has now been summoned. Look at verse 20. He who testified to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Got to understand, Lord Jesus Christ is coming quickly. So what has been 2,000 years? The Bible tells you and I in a couple of different places, 1,000 years is one day unto the Lord. Okay? Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. 8 months going through the book of Revelation, huh? And the Lord just finished it with us. At least in that series, but not in the book. Amen? We're going to watch those things in the book come to pass. And now to honor the one who makes all that possible, we're going to do communion now. And that's what Deacon Clinton is getting ready to. He was so slow to catch my cue as I was pointing to it. But that's all right. He's still our boy. Excuse me, Lord Jesus. You're a deacon. And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this night, the night in which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, he was establishing an eternal kingdom with his disciples and an eternal contract that would never be breached. He would never break that contract. And he will seal that contract in his blood called the New Covenant. And that night, those men didn't fully understand. But I assure you that they do now. They know everything that the Lord Jesus Christ was teaching them now. So on that night, years later, as the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and keep in mind now, Paul is not there, but he heard about how those people was out of line. They were coming there, they were getting drunk, they were carousing, they were being selfish. Those who were able to afford food brought their food and they ate it. And the ones who were poor that didn't have anything, they were eating in front of them and wouldn't share. A very selfish people. And did not regard the sanctity and the sacredness of the Lord's body. Because all they cared about was them having fun. Okay? And so Paul now writes in his letter after being told about the wickedness of this church, Emma. He responds to it. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. They're supposed to have been celebrating the Lord's Supper, but they turned and made it a mockery. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Meaning there was factions, there were cliques in the church that clustered in their little groups, and they wouldn't let certain people in their little social standings within the church. And in doing so, they had established a hierarchy among people. I mean, you can't join my group because you don't have a certain qualification that I'm looking for. That's bad. Okay? And you know what? We still see that kind of thing taking place today in churches where people are still being singled out because of who they are. Paul didn't like it then, and I'm pretty much assured that he doesn't like it today. Okay? And that's why we try to encourage you all, when you come here, everybody is welcome. Everybody. Not one have more rights than the other. I don't have more rights than you all. In fact, the Lord will beat me down if I put myself on a pedestal to you all. Because he says this, he who is the greatest among you shall be servants of all. So if I want to show you all that I'm better than you, I have to serve you. So since I got a servant's heart, he has a servant's heart, we're both going to serve you. And Lord Jesus himself said, he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself as a ransom. And he came to sell himself on the cross for us. That's how he served us, giving up his life for our life. Now, listen to what else he says. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Heresies. What is that? That's false teachings. People who come in, Clinton, with their own agenda, with their own teaching, with their own doctrines. And we see it all the time, Pops. Instead of giving the people, Emma, the word of God, men design their own fancy words that tickle people's ears and tickle their britches to make them feel good. Right?
Right.
And in return, those people give those people great accolades and buy them fancy cars and write them big checks and buy them fancy suits and give them fancy rings and say, oh, he's sure preaching now. But what is he saying that's going to change their souls? What is he saying that's going to call them to kneel down to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Or Lord Jesus Christ, or God, forgive me, a sinner. Because that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone takes before others his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise you the church of God? Emma, come here for a minute. You cannot leave without communion. Take this is the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do so in the name of the Lord. You take communion. So what have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise you the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Paul said, you want me to say what you're doing is good? No, I'm not going to tell you this is good. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, but before we go any further, you do the wine and I'll do the bread. You need to put this away. It's a sacred moment and you hear drawing. You too, put it away. When your pastor's up teaching on communion, you don't sit there draw. You give God your undivided attention. Take and eat. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for you. Hold the elements until we get it all. This is the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the body of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Okay? This is the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Scriptures does not forbid children from taking communion. This is the body of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Take and eat. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just hold on to it. My brother in Christ, this is the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the body of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Before we do this next part, I'm going to drop down here where Paul says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For if he that eateth and drink unworthily, eat and drink damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Bow your head for a moment. And you think back and you think carefully right now in unconfessed and unrepented sin. This is your moment now to respect Lord Jesus, what he's done for you and I on the cross by having his body broken open with the whip and his blood shed for our sin. Let's not treat that lightly by not coming to him and saying, Lord Jesus, I've sinned against God, and I ask you to forgive me, and I repent of this. And I need your help, Lord Jesus, to help me not to do it again. Will you take a moment to do that right now? Examine yourself and see if there's any unconfessed sin in your heart. Amen. Let's give thanks to the Lord. When he had given thanks, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. He broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, first give thanks. Father, we thank you for the blood that was shed, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sin. This cup is a New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Drink this in the remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then that day, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and they sang songs on the way out. I'm not a singer, but I thank God for you. Next week, the Lord's willing, we're going to be looking at the great apostate, the great falling away from Jesus. We will start that next week. Because that is the next phase that the church is about to enter into on earth. A lot of people have already begun it. They're walking away from Lord Jesus in numbers. And we're going to discuss that. Okay, Dinka Kling closes in prayer. And we can go home. We're out right on time. Look at God. Y'all can't believe I did that, huh?
Everybody bow your heads with me, please.
Brennan, please.
Thank you, Jesus, for being with us today. Thank you for your word. On the cross that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.